A reading from the Old Testament. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the fruit, first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes your basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of all the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning, I want to speak with you all on the subject, "A wandering Aramean was our ancestor." And as I begin, I want to think with you for a moment about our ancestors and have you think about yours. Where did they come from? How did they get here? Where in the world were they going? Did they know? Were they even allowed to know? As for my ancestors, if you drive west of here to Mineral Wells, then turn off to Graham and take a winding road called the Loving Highway along the Clear Fork of the Brazos River, you come to a sleepy, mostly abandoned town called Eliasville. Population circa one house of worship, two mangy dogs, and a bunch of dead prices. Buried in the old Eliasville Cemetery across from the Baptist Church. This is where the brothers Isaac and Joseph Price first settled here in the great state of Texas six generations ago. They came after the Civil War from a place called Pontotoc, Mississippi. Before that, their father had come from Georgia And before that, their ancestors had come from North Carolina and Virginia and Pennsylvania and somewheres in Wales. They crossed the ocean on ships and prairies in covered wagons. Big sisters held onto little brothers on the haunches of horses and rocked them in the backs of buggies. They were poor for most of their generations, and after the war, they were almost destitute. They went west for the same reasons many others went west, either because they were running from the law or because they were willing to believe the myth that rain would somehow follow the plow. Rain did not follow the plow into Terry County, Texas. Dust did. So it was a land, as the Bible says, they knew not of. A land they wandered into. A land they had to make a way through. My grandfather would say it was the land God helped his ancestors get into and him get off of. And when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess and settle it, the book of Deuteronomy says, you make sure that you remember that your ancestor was a wandering Aramean. In other words, remember where you came from, as Granddaddy Bill would say. Because remembering where you came from should keep you humble and faithful and dependent upon God, taking nothing for granted and always, always acting with kindness and with grace towards others. Grandfather Abraham was an Aramean wandering in the wilderness of Syria. For the first 75 years of his life, without anything to show for it but a wife and a few cattle, before God called him to get up and to go to a land he knew not of. He had been given a promise. The Bible says that he believed it, and he set out to receive it, even though he could not see it himself. And Grandfather Abraham was a wandering Aramean, a poor wayfaring stranger, a pioneer on the plains of hope and perseverance. And he passed down that perseverance and that hope to the generations that were to follow. And though for 470 years they were sojourners and slaves in Egypt and in Sinai, the sons and daughters of Abraham held on to the promise and kept their faith until they crossed the Jordan and came to the land of Canaan. And when they finally arrived, the writer of Deuteronomy says they were told to remember and never forget that they had come from slaves and from wanderers, a people sore oppressed, yet persevering. Jesus chose to remember this in a quite literal way. He went out into the wilderness and wandered there for his own 40 days, symbolic of his ancestors' 40 years. Jesus' story parallels Moses's. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, then sent out into the Judean wilderness for 40 days, just like Moses was saved in the Nile, then went out into the wilderness of Sinai for 40 years. It was there, as a sojourner and a wanderer in the wilderness, that Moses would learn what he would need to lead his people. He was there 40 years before the burning bush came to him and the Lord called him to lead his people out of Egypt for what would take 40 more. The walk from Egypt to the promised land was only supposed to take about 3 days, but it ended up taking 4 decades. That's because there were a lot of opinions about which way they should go. It was all good practice for a community of faith run by congregational polity. It was not easy. They wandered. They doubted. They all but despaired. But in a wilderness where there was no bread to eat and no water to drink, the sons and the daughters of Abraham learned to trust in the God who was able to draw water from the rock and make a table in the wilderness. So they kept on walking, and they kept on believing. And with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, they kept on persevering. And the Deuteronomist said, when you come into the land, do not forget. Remember. Remember how far you and your people have come. And do not take any of it for granted. That is why Jesus was out there. He was sent out into the wilderness to remember the sojourn and the struggles of his ancestors and to ready himself for his own. That is what Lent ought to be for us. It should be a time of remembering the sojourn and the struggles of our ancestors and of readying ourselves for our own and realizing that we can take nothing of what we have thus far accomplished for granted. On Friday, we marked the 60th anniversary of the Bloody Sunday on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. We think about how much blood was shed on that long march for the right for black and brown people to vote, and we dare not take it for granted. Nor do we take for granted the right of women to vote. This is Women's History Month, and we think about all of the struggles of all of those suffragettes who suffered for their franchise. We can't take that for granted. We think about the rights of LGBTQ persons. So much was gained through such sacrifice, and now legislators across the country are filing bills to strip it all away. Take away the promise of liberty and justice for all people. Can't take any of this for granted. What had to be won in former generations can still be lost in our own. So we dare not take it for granted. Like Jesus, we remember our ancestors' struggles, and we steel ourselves right here and right now for our own. This is what Lent is all about. It readies us for the struggle. And not just our own struggle. We also have to consider and care about the struggles of others. A wandering Aramean was our ancestor. Therefore, we should be more than sympathetic towards those who wander among us. When you come into your land, the Deuteronomist says, remember that you were once aliens. Remember how coldly and how cruelly you were mistreated. Do not, he says, do the same. Coldness and cruelty to undocumented persons is unacceptable. Our ancestors were once strangers and aliens in Egypt or somewhere else. And we must treat the strangers and the aliens among us the way we wish our ancestors had been treated among them. We must treat the aliens and the strangers among us the same way we would wish to be treated ourselves. Thus the promise God gave to Abraham will finally be fulfilled. Not only the land, but also the blessing. And the blessing not only for Abraham and for his family, but blessing for all of the other families also. You will be blessed to be a blessing, the Lord says to Abraham, to all of the families of the earth. Helen Keller said, there is no king who has not had a slave among his ancestors and no slave who has not had a king among his. I think this should humble us all. For a wandering Aramean was our ancestor, and we should not take it for granted that a wandering Aramean will not be our descendant. So we must remember where it is that we came from, how we got here, how far it is that we had to come, how we were treated and mistreated along the way, and why it is that when we finally came into our land, we were told to never, ever forget it. The yoke of Pharaoh, the thirst of the desert, the desperation of all of those 470 years, and the goodness of that moment. The goodness of that moment. When we finally crossed over the water and somebody said, everybody is free. How far we've come by faith to freedom is a journey we should never forget. And the promised land that we are striving for, something we in our own generation can never take for granted. This is our promise to receive and our promise to keep. Let us remember our ancestor was a wandering Aramean. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together all of God's people say, Amen.